Good evening. I don't know what the protocol is, but I guess it's too late to back out of tonight's lesson. At last, we are here. We are all together. We've been planning this for a while, and it's been exciting to do that. And it's exciting to be here tonight with you all. If you want to turn to Philippians, the book of Philippians, we're going to take some lessons from there tonight. Again, appreciate everyone being here. Appreciate those that are visiting. We have several. Appreciate seeing you. Hope that this lesson is a benefit to us all. Nice thing about going second tonight is I don't have to do an introduction because Emerson already did that. So I can just jump right into what I'd like to speak about. Searching for meaning beyond this world. How do we find the joy? Where does that joy come from? Searching for joy while living on this earth, but finding a joy that will last for eternity. I think that's kind of the crux of what my lesson is keyed upon. I want to hit on three different points, but as we turn to Philippians, joy is definitely the keynote of that epistle. No less than 16 times the Apostle Paul used the word joy or a similar word to it. Similar to Ecclesiastes, where Emerson spent his time. I believe 13 times in those 12 chapters, joy or similar word was used to it. How do we find joy in a world full of vanity? How do we find joy while living here, yet a joy that will last forever? So this letter is a great place for us all to go to, and I'm not going to read through all of it. We're going to hit on a few verses. But if you want to read a little bit more on your own time, I strongly would encourage that, and especially focusing in on joy and how do we find that. We can find joy. Just like the end of Emerson's lesson, there is meaning to this life. We can find that. And there is joy that we can have in this life. We can find that. And we can find it that will last forever. So the three points tonight, make sure they're showing up. This joy is experienced always. Always. It's not just sometimes, not just part of the time, but this is an always kind of joy. This abiding joy is found in the Lord. When we are in the Lord, we will find out that we have an abiding joy. And then there are some hindrances to that joy. There are roadblocks. There are things that cause us to stumble. We go into despair, depression. We lose that joy. I want to look at three different hindrances and maybe some solutions that is pointed out in the scriptures, in the Bible, as to how we can overcome those and keep that abiding joy. The first point tonight is always. Joy is always. We can always have joy. It's not just an occasional experience. It's not just for exceptional people. We can experience joy in darkness and in light. We can experience joy in trials as well as in triumphs. I want to read to you James 1, verses 2 through 3. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And I'm going to try to put some of the scriptures up there that are not in Philippians up on the screen. Hopefully we can all read that. We can experience joy in the good times, most definitely, but in the hard times of life as well. When we have hard circumstances in life, when we are in trials, the encouragement here from James in the book of James is to count it all joy when we meet those trials. What's our perspective? What's our attitude as we go into those trials? We know that if we can have the right attitude going in, coming out of it, we will be stronger. We're going to produce a stronger faith, a stronger steadfastness. Joy is not just for exceptional people. When we think about Peter or Paul from the Bible, some of these people that wrote about joy, it's not just for them. Joy is not just for them. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 13, says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you." Don't be surprised when that trial comes to you. as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and God rests upon you. Joy is not just for these special people that we may consider heroes as we look through the Bible, but it is for all of us. For everyone that puts their faith and trust in Christ and in his sufferings, we can rejoice. I want to consider now some of the words in the letter to the Philippians. I want to consider Paul, and he found joy always. He always found joy in all these circumstances. We think about all the times that he may have been shipwrecked or in distress of some sort. The beatings, the thorn in the flesh, the list could go on of the trials of Paul's life. Yet he was able to find joy in them. Chapter 1 and verse 4. I want to just read through these and just make a simple point with each one of them. Always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Paul, when praying for these other people, for these Philippians, he found it joyful to pray for them. He found it joyful to think about them and to bring them before the Lord. In chapter 1 and verse 18, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Paul, a teacher, a preacher of the gospel, he found so much joy in teaching the gospel, even under hard and bad circumstances in his life. He found it a joyful time to spread the news of Christ. Chapter 2 and verse 2. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Paul here saying that there is a lot of joy that comes from unity. When the brothers and sisters are united in Christ and they're working together, there is a joy that can be had. And Paul's thinking about that and realizing that joy and asking the Philippians to make sure they are united and that they find that joy. Verse 17, but even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. In verse 18, you too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. Paul was a great example of a man who worked and taught for Christ. And some consider him a martyr for that. He gave his life, his suffering that he was willing to go through, even the offering of everything that he had. He's being poured out as a drink offering. And because of that service, he was able to receive a joy. In chapter 4 and verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. And Paul thought about how the brethren in love were able to help him. That brought out a great joy. And he rejoiced because of that. Paul was always able to find joy in any circumstance he was in. And I think we all need to make sure we implement that into our life. Whatever circumstance we in, find the bright side of that. Truly, Paul rejoiced. Well, what was his secret? Why was he able to do that? What is the source of this abiding joy? How do we find it? The abiding joy comes from being in the Lord. Emerson read Ecclesiastes 12:13. Fear the Lord. In the whole conclusion of that lesson in Ecclesiastes, he said, you know, in conclusion, fear the Lord and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Keen in on the part of keeping the commandments. The Bible is full of ways in which we can abide in the Lord. In comparison, we think about our life today. There may be temporary joy. Here's a list to put in front of you. And you can add to this list things that bring joy to your life. What are the things that make you happy? Is it your house, the money, your vehicles, recreation of whatever kind you enjoy doing, television, working with your tools. Maybe for me, I like buying tools. That brings me a lot of happiness. The technology in our life, it's ever-changing, ever-moving forward. Everybody's in line, so happy to get that newest phone that comes out. Even our family or people around us, our neighbors, our friends, those are important to us. They bring us happiness. Think about whatever else you want to add to that list. What is it that all these things have in common? All these things disappear. All these things in time will end. Matthew 6:19-21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The joy that abides in the Lord will last forever. Let's not put our too much hope into the temporary things of this life. Those things, while they do bring us joy, and there's nothing wrong with most of those things, they don't last forever. How do we find that joy like Paul was talking about that he can always have, that abides forever? That joy that abides is in the Lord. It is only in the Lord. Another way of putting this is a deep personal relationship with the Lord that is alive and is bearing fruit. That's what it means to be in the Lord, to be a Christian. When we think about being in the Lord, what are some of the things that we enjoy? I want to look at three different passages. The first one is in Romans. I went too far. Romans chapter 5. In verse 2, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace which we have, in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Some of the things that we enjoy while being in the Lord is the grace of God. There's a peace that comes over us because of God's grace. Peace with God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Being in the Lord, we enjoy the fact that God is going to help us in temptations, that he is going to be there for us. He will always be there for us while we go through those trials. Another thing we enjoy while being in the Lord, in Hebrews 13:5-6, keep your life free from love, from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Taking comfort in knowing that God is with us. In all parts of our life, that God is with us. These are some of the things that we enjoy while abiding in the Lord. Peace, help in temptations, comforts during trials. Those sort of things provide us an everlasting joy. A joy that will last forever. The abiding joy in the Lord. So how do we experience it ourselves? Why do we often consider ourselves as being in a great relationship with God and then still feel as if we are lacking joy in all circumstances? How does life creep up on us at times and bring dark trials to us when we feel like we are being a strong Christian? Perhaps the last point will help us. There are hindrances to our joy. There are things that will slow us down while we're trying to have joy in the Lord. Oftentimes we find ourselves doing good, serving God, and yet we get depressed, or we feel that this world is full of despair. Why is that? I want to look at three different hindrances, and again, we could add to this list. And I want to look at some solutions that the scriptures point out for us on how to avoid these hindrances of the abiding joy. The first one, we have memories of our past failures. We have the awareness of our present faults. And those will probably always be pointed out to us. We'll always recognize those. The fact that in the past we have failed, and right now we have faults when we think about it. This often leaves us in a state of despair, often leaves us in discouragement. How can I move forward from this? I have so many things going wrong right now. Maybe even depression would come on. I want to look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. Sorry if that's a little small. Philippians 3, 12 through 14, if you have your Bible still open, you can read from there. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The first thing that we realize in this scripture is that we are imperfect. We have imperfections. And the second thing that is pointed out here, that Paul points out, is we need to press on. We need to look forward. We need to realize that Christ has given us this opportunity. It is through Christ, it is in Christ, that we have the opportunity that we can forget about our past and our present faults and push on to better things. Forget about your past failures. Reach towards your future successes. And the second point, the second hindrance, is that sometimes we are too conformed to this world. Sometimes we take too much joy in living in this world, and we don't realize that we're just passing through. This world tends to mold us and shape us. It shapes our attitude toward life, and not always in a good way. You know, through relationships and friendships that we have with other people, we are molded. Through influences in our life as we were growing up, we were molded. And like I said, probably for most of us, it was good. Yet there are some things in our life that we have grown accustomed to, or we've grown as a habit, that is not good. We have conformed to this world. Yet in Christ, we can be transformed. Let's read Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In Christ, we can be transformed. How does that scripture point us and show us that we can be transformed? It talks about the renewing of our mind. And it talks about the will of God, that we will know the will of God. The will of God comes from our Bibles. It comes from our study of the Scriptures, to know His will, His commandments, as Ecclesiastes verse that we looked at in 12:13. When we learn that we can, in Christ, transform our lives and become His, we can start not falling to the hindrance of being conformed to this world. We'll be able to get that out of our life. In Galatians 5, verse 22, we see that joy is a part of the fruit that we bear. And this comes from transforming our lives to Christ and living for Christ. We see that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Joy is one of those fruits that we will start bearing when we start living in Christ. The third point, when life gives you lemons, oftentimes life will throw circumstances at us, trials at us, things that go wrong, depressing circumstances in our life will come up. Life is throwing lemons at you. It's easy to be joyful when everything's going well, but when things aren't going so well, It's not as easy to be joyful. In James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." We read those two verses earlier, but continuing on, "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Count it all joy when we meet those trials of whatever kind it is. When life throws lemons at you, it's about our perspective. It's about our attitude. Are we prepared to go into life knowing that there's going to be trials? Knowing that if we overcome those trials, we will be stronger. We will be able to live a stronger life for Christ. Yes, the abiding joy does have hindrances, but we can overcome them. We can overcome them. We can obtain joy. The three points that we looked at tonight, finding joy. Joy is experienced always. The abiding joy is found in the Lord. And we can remove those hindrances so that we can always have that abiding joy. I want to read to you Philippians 4, verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." This does not mean that we need to be insensitive to the dark realities of life. But instead, we should not let the dark realities of life blind us to the joy that is found in the Lord. We can obtain joy. We can obtain it. Have you found yourself searching for joy beyond this life? Have you found yourself searching for meaning beyond this world? Have you found yourself going through life without the abiding joy that has been discussed tonight? Joy is attainable, and joy beyond this world is attainable. It's found in our scriptures. We can receive that joy. You can receive that joy. To close, I want to read in 1 Peter chapter 1. If you want to turn your Bibles there, 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to read verses 13 through 16. "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" In this passage, we're encouraged to fix our hope on Jesus Christ. Don't be conformed to this world, the lusts that are in the flesh, but instead be holy. Set yourself apart. Be sanctified for the Lord. Set yourself apart from the world and serve God. Serve your Lord Jesus Christ, in which our hope is fixed upon. If you are struggling, if you are searching for the meaning of life, I suggest you stop conforming to the world and transform your life to Christ through baptism. You've heard the scriptures tonight from Emerson's lesson and some scriptures in mine. A point that if we want to find that meaning of life, if we want to find the joy that I talked about, we have to acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord. We have to acknowledge Him as our Savior. It is found in the Lord. If you believe those scriptures, I encourage you to repent of your sins. Romans points out that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, and be baptized. If you're struggling tonight with anything, we encourage you to let that be known. Just come forward as we stand and as we sing.